Day, eh?
Good day.
Good day, eh? And welcome to another Foreside Chat, a podcast about blacksmithing, bladesmithing, and everything in between, with a heavy focus on talent in the Great White North.
Oh, shoot. I was going to talk to you about changing the startup here, man. Oh, well, I guess we...
We're changing her up?
Well, it's season 3, man. I don't know. I thought maybe it was time for something new.
Ah, Lando, you need to tell me about these things ahead of time.
This is what happens. Anyways, Hosehead was talking about Canada, eh? And today in the shop, we've got Mike Jones sitting down with us right now. That was my good man, Nick Verbray from Old Soldier Toolworks. He's out in Ottawa region. And Mike Jones is coming all the way from the British Columbia in Quesnel. And myself, Lando Novak, the Abstract Blacksmith, is coming to you from Winnipeg, Manitoba today. Mike Jones, you can find him on Instagram at Mike Jones Knife and Tool. And you can also look him up on the good old Facebook. Mike Jones is a knife maker, and he's doing some beauty stuff. We've had him on the show before, back on episode 10, if you want to go back and listen to that and hear his whole story of where he started and how he got there and how he does what he does. But today, we're reaching out to him to ask him how his year went and what he's got in store for the new year. So, Mike Jones, welcome to the show. How you doing, bud?
Oh, I'm great. Thanks for having me back.
Fuck yeah! Woo! How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah?
Had a reasonably decent day today. Actually got some work done over the last couple of days.
Yeah. I didn't ask you what you've been up to, bud. I just asked you how you've been. Come on now.
Well, last couple of days I've been actually getting stuff done, so I've been doing better. Those two things are very correlated for me.
That makes sense. Mike Jones, my man, let's dive into what you've been up to real quick here, bud. You had a pretty crazy year behind you there. I saw you expanded your shop a little bit. You decided to start doing something. What was it, a newsletter you started for the Bushfucker, or what was it, a YouTube video or something?
Oh, yeah, that's really recent. I haven't even actually filmed any of them, which gives you an idea of, like, how well I am, how good I am at like social media and these kinds of things, because I started a Patreon page where I'm going to do like videos of me just smashing stuff with my Bushfucker called Will It Bushfuck. And
that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I've got a bunch of good ideas, but I haven't actually got around to actually filming any of them. My follow through has been really poor in the last few days. I've been really busy trying to get a head start on my year here. I don't know what happened, but my December, I way overbooked myself for orders, even on top of like the Christmas rush. So I was like just flat out I started in early October on my Christmas rush stuff. I knew it was coming up, so I got ahead of things. And then I've been working on December orders since early October, and I'm still not technically done them all. So it's been hectic for that whole time, and all through the holidays and stuff, I was still stealing some time, picking away at things. And so I've got some ideas for Will It Bushfuck, and that's going to be fun once that actually gets rolling. Like I say, I probably should have filmed like a bunch of them in advance. That's why I haven't started a podcast, because I would start it and then never do any of them.
Oh, man, so it's tough to keep up.
To you guys who actually follow through on your ideas. So yeah, it's been gnarly, and I actually just today cleaned my shop for probably the first time in, I don't know, all year. It was intense. It was like 3 hours of just sweeping and vacuuming in like my dust spot, my dirty section of my shop.
Oh, jeez.
Like a 10x12 area. It was just so bad.
Oh, man.
I actually forgot that my walls and ceiling were white, because they went completely black. It was so dark in there. It was gnarly. So yeah, it's looking a lot better now. And then I just ordered some extra parts for my shop vac that have like actual like bristles on them, so it'll sweep and vacuum at the same time and really get in there. So these tools we have, man, all these bench mount tools, are so many tiny little stupid spots where dust can all collect, and there takes forever for clean those things all out.
Yeah, absolutely.
My wife
never do it.
My wife picked up some sort of attachment that gives you this tiny little freaking nozzle, and it's got a Venturi vacuum, like a Venturi tube on it. So like you hook it up to your vacuum, like you normally would vacuum type thing, but it's the nozzle on it's so long and narrow that you can get it at tiny little areas. And I guess that like Venturi tube on it allows that extra suction to not damage your vacuum perhaps or something. I don't know, but it works amazing for cleaning out the inside of the dryer, getting all the extra lint out of our dryer.
Oh. I never thought about cleaning a dryer.
Oh, dude. My wife is, she runs a cleaning business, hey, like house cleaning and offices and stuff like that. And nice. We got the dryer that she uses for cleaning all her rags. And that's what builds up the lint super bad. Like every load is just packed jam with lint. It's not like it's like the weld shop with dust. It's brutal.
Yeah, it's so gross in there. So I'm glad to have done that. Now I feel disgusting and I have to go have a shower.
It looked like you went out and chopped your Christmas tree down with a bushfucker.
Yeah, every year we go and bushfuck ourselves some holiday spirit in our backyard. We got a bunch of acreage out here, so we got a bunch of spruce trees and stuff, so we go out and pick one in November or something. It's a bit of a become a bit of a tradition. Mash That's it awesome. Down with a bushfucker.
That's fucking awesome, dude.
That really is just frankly the greatest name for a product ever.
Yeah, I was on the fence when I named it for a little while. I was like, this could really hurt the marketability of this, I guess, because a lot of play, like, you know, swearing hurts people's feelings. So it's, I didn't know it. But then at the end of the day, I was like, fuck it. This is me. I'm going to do my thing. And it's, you know, I like to inject a little bit of humor into most of what I do. And, I was like, this thing doesn't just bush whack, it bush fucks, and it sure does, and turned into a great decision, because as soon as people hear that, they laugh, and they're like, what is a bush fucker? And as soon as you hand them one, they're like, oh yeah, this is a bush fucker.
I just realized what you put in for your freaking name, you hoser. Mike Jones, bitch.
You only saw that now? I saw it right away, and I was just like, yeah, that's awesome.
That's Mike Jones for you. How's the snowboarding going for you, bud? You been out lately?
No, I really need to go. I've been in our yard. We got a bit of a hill in the back, and so I sort of groomed like a sort of a run, I guess, for my kid. Dude. He's just kind of learning, so we got him a new snowboard set up this year for Christmas, and it actually fits him now. So he's been out a little bit, and I've been kind of trying to teach him, but I haven't got out myself yet.
I hear that, man.
Those years having a kid that's between 5 and, I don't know, 8 or 9, when they really start being able to hold their own, is when things for dad start taking a back seat.
That's right, man. I think I've got to put some time aside myself this weekend and take my kid out snowboarding, and instead of being in the shop, it's dad duty. Gotta do what you gotta do. But that's for sure, man. Yep, gotta make sure they grow up too, right?
And do it while they still want you to. I mean, soon they're going to be 12, 13, 14 years old, and they don't want to hang out with dad anymore.
It comes quicker than that nowadays. It seems almost, man, they grow up even earlier, almost. It's insane. Saw that, Ken Block passed away.
That's so depressing.
Yeah, man. Very sad. You know, perspective into play as to how life can be taken at any time, especially, you know, when you're doing something like being out in the backcountry doing snow sports, or riding any sort of extreme machinery, you know, snowmobiles, dirt bikes, stuff like that, doing any of that kind of stuff. And I mean, even just being in the shop, we deal with daily, you know, daily hazards, and being in the shop with working with what we do.
It's not exactly the safest trade on the planet.
Yeah.
Today I found behind one of my drill presses, I found pieces of a belt that exploded on me. I don't remember when.
Those are always fun moments.
Yeah, but yeah, those are the ones that wake you up a little bit and remind you that these things are spinning at 3,000 RPM and you got to be on your toes.
I was going to ask you, have you had any close calls lately? Any occurrences of something that, you know, you learned a lesson or two from lately?
Not lately. Nothing's been too scary. The last one I had was a non-woven, like a Scotch-Brite belt. Grabbed a chef knife, ripped it right out of my hands, and drove it into basically my workbench, the leg of my workbench. And I looked down, like I was like, where the hell did that go? And I looked down and it's like right, you know, sort of foot above my foot. And it's stuck in by the tip, and the handle's like kind of like whoa, 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 you know, like flapping a little bit. That one was kind of sketchy.
Like a
buffer, like those soft buffing wheels will grab a blade and fire it across the room. No problem.
Yeah, you've always got to be careful with that stuff.
Is there a technique you kind of lean towards to prevent that from happening? What's the trick?
Just trying to stay away from any edge that could grab, you know, like if you're buffing a handle, just watch for like a lip that it could possibly like grab a hold of and try and, you know, switch around, go the other way or something like that. And just really trying to be cognizant of every move you're making with around one of those things, especially like the buffing wheel seems so soft and just, you know, friendly. It looks like it would be,
but they're going at such high RPM, right?
So fast. Yeah, and it's so, and the softness, like if you push something into it too hard, then it's just like fingers will grab.
And they never have guards on those things ever either, eh? Like I've never, well, like,
need to work all the way around them most of the time too.
Yeah.
Interesting. Because I've always kind of wondered that, why doesn't it have like the classic bench grinder guard, like casing around like the back half of it and then like a work rest on the front of it?
I think it's usually, you just want to be able to get at it for different angles and stuff, especially if you're ever either the same thing with wire wheels, trying to get into like weird, odd places. Sometimes you need to be a bit creative about how you're placing things.
I've seen some buffers that have super long arms on them, so you can really get around the wheel.
Yeah.
Those things look pretty handy, too.
Do you have, like, a work rest? You got a work rest of any sort, or is it just all freehand?
For, I guess I just have one on my disc sander for, like, flattening out scales and stuff like that for hand material. But otherwise, I do everything freehand. I've got a couple of those Vashti grinders from out here in BC, and their work rests are super cool. They really articulate anywhere you want to put them. Really great design, and I hardly ever use mine because I freehand everything. And I don't know. I used to use one a whole lot for just roughing in shapes, roughing in my profiles and stuff like that. Like a lot of guys will kind of close and then do a lot of the work on the grinder to rough out their profiles. But I get as close as I can beforehand and do as little grinding as possible. And I just do it all by hand now.
Cool, dude.
Yeah.
Nick, you got any,
safety tips?
No, I was going to say, you got anything you want to grill Mike Jones about there, bud? I've been cutting you off left, right, and center. You've like wanted to say things, and I've like just sorry, dude.
Nah, it's okay. I'm still running a bit slow. I don't know. I guess the last time I talked to you, Mike, it was when I was buying chunks of bandsaw blade from you.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah, it's been some time. It's been at least a year, probably closer to two.
Yeah, got more of that if you need it.
Oh, don't worry. There'll probably be an order for it coming your way at some point. I don't know. I love the used bandsaw blade as a contrast material. I find that I get really nice forge welds with it.
Everyone says the same thing. That stuff works really, really well, and they get a really nice shine out of their.
Yeah, like never have any problem with contrast or anything. It's always nice and bright and shiny. But yeah, there's been times where I've had, you know, like actual, you know, new manufacturer 15 and 20 and it doesn't want to weld. Switch over to bandsaw blade, just works great. I think part of it might be just by how, because of how thin it is. Oh, Lando's raising his hand.
I got a question. Yeah, I didn't want to cut you off. Sorry, but how big is the bandsaw blade? And if somebody wants to get some, how do they get in touch with you to get it?
Oh, hit me up however you want, email or message on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. But the I cut those bars into about 1 5/8 wide by, what were they, like 9 inches long or so?
Yeah, they're about 9 inches.
And it's like 3/32 thick, that stuff. Nice. It's a big ass bandsaw. They come from the mill and they're like 40 feet long or something. Huge bandsaw blade. It's not like one in your shop. They're massive.
Yeah. And,
I get it. My buddy's shop has, he's got this huge, awesome shop and they've got this massive machine. I can't remember the company that makes it. All those fabricators out there will know it, but it's this massive cool press thing and it just chops that thing up no problem. It's got this shear in it that'll chop like 1 1/4 thick steel no problem without even thinking about it. So take it in, we grab them and take it in there for an evening and him and I just buck up a bunch of bandsaw and sell it to guys that make Damascus.
That's awesome, dude. Well, it comes, you know, lovely and pine scented. With its, a Bridgeport, some kind of shear, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's got all iron worker. Yeah, that's what it is, exactly.
Yeah, you know, it comes in used condition. You got to take the time to grind them and clean them up, but it really isn't too bad. And like I said, once you actually stack it up and weld it, I found it just welds easier than 15 and 20 does.
Yeah, I try.
I don't know if it's got a different carbon content or less nickel or what.
But. I don't know what it is, but it seems to work really great. I've sent it to guys who make Damascus, and they send me back the bars of Damascus, and it's I love working with it too. It works out really well. I try to send you guys like the cleaner pieces. There's some that are just like old and rusty and crappy, and I try to send you the ones that are still kind of clean and shiny.
Meh. I gotta grind it anyway, so I don't really care.
Guys will like let it soak in kerosene or something sometimes to clean it up a little bit or
higher. Oh yeah, I'm sure if you wanted to do something like that, you could. But I really don't find it's that much effort. I just put one of my big grinding wheels on. I've got a 14 inch, so for hauling off, you know, like surfacing steel.
I got a 14 inch cock. Ooh,
you do?
Yeah. I wait. No, actually, I don't at all. Fuck, that'd be brutal.
That sounds, honestly, that does sound kind of terrible. Yeah, no, it was actually a really inexpensive wheel. It's an AliExpress model, but yeah, it's held up really well. I don't use it tons, mostly just for doing surfacing or the very rare time I'll need to do something like a hollow grind.
You got a big ass wheel, Mike?
I think I got a 12-inch serrated. I don't use all that much, but I really should play with that a little bit more.
Deplatted?
A what?
Like
a flat platen.
Yeah.
No, not a flat platen. No, a radius platen.
Oh, no, haven't got one of those yet. Those look sweet. I want to get one of them with a 48-inch or something, and then do like some proper S grinds on chef knives and stuff.
That's exactly where I was leaning to. Yeah.
Cool, man. Yeah, those look sweet.
That's where I think I've been building a 2x72. Well, I started building it like months ago, and then I took steps into it, and then I took steps away from it, and I've got to take steps back towards it one of these days.
Is that thing still not done yet?
Nope.
You are all gung-ho about it. Like, what happened?
The press took over, dude.
Yeah,
want to get back to my roots, my blacksmithing roots, and make things. I was just like itching, dude. You got anything?
That's the problem of like a fabricator is like, oh, I could just do this myself, and then 3 or 4 months later, you're like, why didn't I just buy one, get it done? That's I came to that conclusion after trying to build a forge or something, and I was just like, why am I struggling with this thing that might blow me up when I could just support another Canadian maker and buy one that's done and just go back to work and start making money again?
Yeah.
I don't struggle. There's no struggle for me anyways, but sorry, Nick, go ahead.
How many months has it been?
It's just because I get sidetracked with other stuff. I don't have a hard time making this stuff. Like I said, I built my own press. I've got it up and running now. It's working great.
You're also a welder.
Yes, I'm fabricator at heart, man.
Yeah. There are those of us who are not fabricators at heart. Like, I genuinely hate fabricating.
There's a good customer right there.
You need a press, but you got a press. You got a press, Mike? You got anything new in the shop lately?
No, actually, the radial platen is one that's been something that I've been bugging Vashti actually to make one for their grinder, but I haven't seen it, so I may have to jump in on somebody's get one of those things soon. But no, I haven't got much for the last thing I think I bought for my shop was my air cleaner. I got one of those Wen air cleaner things.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's haunted. It turns itself.
I mean, most of them are.
Yeah. It's just, I'll walk into my shop on a Monday morning and it's running and it's like, hey, great. How long has this thing been going? You know, turns itself on. I don't know. I think maybe it has like a fancy sensor in it that can tell when it needs to be on, but I have to leave it unplugged because it'll just run all day, all night without me being in there.
Yeah. I'd leave it unplugged.
It's kind of spooking me out.
Yeah. Oh shit.
Just you come into the shop, it's freaking, it's running anyways, even though it's unplugged.
That's gonna be that's when it happens.
Dump, 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 dump.
That's when I'll bury it.
Burn it.
Yeah. Witch! It with fire.
Witch. I just realized I plugged the heater in my shop and totally like left it plugged in and came in here and I've got my heater running in the shop, which I don't like doing. I don't like leaving stuff plugged in and running in the shop. I'll have to run out there in a bit.
Somebody's, I can't remember who it was, but someone else's shop recently burnt down.
Jason Knight.
That's who it was. Yeah. God, yeah. That's scary.
Oh, his shop burned down.
Yeah, man. There's a GoFundMe right now. Damn. That, his daughter and Liam Hoffman have going for him. I could be wrong, but I guess his daughter and Liam Hoffman are married, and that's like,
oh really?
It's kind of an interesting connection right there. Yeah,
bladesmithic dynasty going on.
Right. Yeah, pretty cool.
Imagine the kids they'll have.
Oh, the family.
Well, Jason Knight's like a big dude, and Liam Hoffman is just tiny.
Is he?
Really? He looks jacked.
Yeah, he looks.
Oh, he's. Oh, don't get me wrong. He's jacked. A very strong individual, but he's he's somewhat vertically challenged.
Okay.
Interesting. But him and Alex Steele, they're just itty bitty little guys.
Yeah, that Alex Steele guy looks like a little dude. This guy's a sniper, man. He burns all that energy. He doesn't have any energy left to grow. He's wired.
Yeah, he is an interesting fellow. He's not always like that kind of energy. Sometimes he's very kind of chill. Although other times, just in person, he is absolutely running around with that same kind of energy. It kind of depends a bit. But he is not a big man. Like, I literally, one of the first days I was over learning from him, I grabbed him under his armpits and lifted him up over my head.
They like it when you do that.
Oh, yeah, he was a huge fan of that.
I think he'll remember. I was going to ask you, would he remember you if we brought him on the show? I think he will, hey?
Yeah, I think he probably would.
I don't know if he'll come on the show from the sounds of things. Especially after the way we were talking about
him. We had a good time. We had a good time. It was all fun.
Threatened to go and pick him up again if he doesn't.
Yeah. Alec, you're coming on the show, or I'm going to come and physically move you to it.
And it's not that hard now because he's actually a lot closer now than he used to be.
Oh, he's back over in England again.
Oh, is he? He's not down in whatever, Utah or whatever?
Montana. Now, I'm not sure what's going on with that. So, like, I haven't been keeping up with his videos. I haven't been keeping up with anything, really. Yeah. My life is a dumpster fire. but, yeah, he ended up going back to the UK for a while. Like, the shop in Montana is still running. Like, he's got employees there working. But he's over in England for the foreseeable future till he comes back, I assume.
If he comes back.
If maybe. I mean, it seemed like he liked the United States. He was big on the idea of moving to the U.S. when I went over and trained with him in England, so.
Interesting. I wonder.
You should get him on and ask him.
I guess maybe we should reach out to him one of these days. I don't know. We're getting to that point now that, I mean, look at all these big names that we've got coming on the show lately, man. It's pretty insane. So
I suppose this is kind of true.
We got Mike Jones on the show for crying out loud.
Nice that you snuck me in among all those guys.
What are you talking about, dude? You're like one of the most like recognizable names in Canada, man.
I don't think that's correct.
I personally,
you're certainly better known than either of we are.
Yeah. Well, we're getting to a point there, Nick. People are starting to recognize the good old boys at Forge Side Chat.
Yeah, but who is this Nick guy who's on the show? I don't know.
There's no mistake.
I don't really do anything.
Yeah, you had the fortune and fame that came from good old Joe Rogan there. So, I mean.
Oh, yeah,
that's right.
Can't live that down, dude. Jeez.
Hopefully not. I hope that lasts a little while longer.
You still selling the shirts, eh? I saw you had a post about that recently.
Yeah, merchandise is merchandise is really hit or miss. Hats and t-shirts and all that stuff people try and sell. I think some people do really well with it for some reason, and I just end up sitting on a box of stuff for months and months at a time.
I've kind of wondered about the whole merchandise game, especially when it's coming to, like, you know, someone's forge name and stuff like that. Like, how many, you know, selling to friends and family, you get so many sold, and then after that.
Yeah, and you got to carry size runs of everything. And, you know, last summer I did, girls wanted t-shirts and some wanted tank tops. So I did like some of each. And then you end up having to have like an extra small to a large of each one. And so you got to have multiples of all those sizes. And then with the t-shirts, same thing. You got to have all these. Yeah, you just end up sitting on a lot of product and better off just giving it away and getting it out there to your friends and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of the people who are slightly more successful with it, they've got agreements with like t-shirt production companies like Teespring or whatever it is. And that way they're not stuck sitting on a bunch of stock. It's the company will
some of them,
make
yeah,
small runs.
Yeah, you can do like pre-orders or whatever, and they'll just, and they only have to make exactly what they need, what they're selling or whatever, and then they take a chunk of that and you don't end up sitting on a bunch. I think I did that with my first run. There was some company where you could just go in and make any t-shirt you wanted, and then you have to hit a minimum, which is a scary part. You got to get a minimum number of orders. Otherwise you're on the hook for some of it. Something like that. It was a weird situation. Luckily I got just enough orders. I think I ended up buying a few of them to make it enough. And then, like you say that you're not sitting on a bunch of them, but it's fun to, you have to have them at shows and stuff. Like, you got to take that sort of stuff if you're going to do trade shows or whatever. You got to have something with your name on it, stickers and all those things.
Yeah.
Just one more thing.
Everybody loves stickers.
That just assumes that you think people are actually going to care about you. I am under no such delusions.
That's good. That's a better spot to be in, probably.
Come on, man. You got to have some hope in yourself there, buddy. Some self-pride.
Yeah, you know what? If people want something from me, they can buy a tool.
There you go. The logo's on the tool.
Yeah, touch mark is.
Perfect. So what's in store for the future for you there, Mike? What do you got planned for this year coming up?
Actually kind of excited about a few things. Over the Christmas holidays, I've been chatting with another guy here in Western Canada who's got one of those like high-tech shops with all the like crazy newest, greatest things. I think he's looking into like a metal 3D printer that'll do like 3D printed titanium, stuff like that. Like he's that kind of a shop.
Oh, cool.
And so yeah, so we got some plans on some stuff that I'm really excited about. I don't know, it might be too early to start throwing stuff out there, but I think that finally something that I've been wanting to work on for a long time but have never had the patience is folding knives, and those are going to start coming out finally soon. So I'm really excited about coming up with some folding designs, and he's super into it. He's like, oh, we can do all these crazy, like he's got all these neat ideas of stuff that he can manufacture in-house. Like he can build the bearings or stuff like that. Like he can do all that stuff super custom. So I'm excited for that kind of thing. Yeah, there's a few really neat sort of accessories and stuff like that that are going to start coming out that people have been asking for. So I'm pumped to get some of that stuff underway and get some of that going on. And so other than that, just trying to keep up with my order list, get caught up with that so it's people aren't waiting so long on stuff. And try to teach my kid how to snowboard this year.
Right on, man.
Maybe get a run there was into it myself.
Yeah, there was a small part of me that was going to be like, laser bushfucker. Tell me it's a laser bushfucker.
Like a lightsaber.
Wow. Wow.
That technology.
Make it so it says, fuck, fuck, fuck.
If that technology ever actually happens, then this might be the dude who figures it out.
I'm sold. Put me on the list.
Yeah, that would be sick.
Cool, dude. Well, it sounds like you got lots of fun up ahead of you. Folding knives is a whole nother game, dude, from my understanding. I know nothing about it, but maybe one of these days I'll venture into this whole knife-making game. But, dude,
you're already a bladesmith, remember?
Yeah.
You've stole the knife. You're officially a bladesmith.
What you do, Mike, inspires me big time, dude. I look up to you a lot. You've got a lot of love for me, my man, and I wish you all the best in 2023 from myself and Nick, I'm sure. Well, for me.
Yeah, for me too.
All the best. Cool, much man. Love.
I appreciate you saying that. That's it's being inspiring. Is probably one of the greatest achievements, I guess, that an artisan or craftsman or something could hope to could inspire somebody else to do something creative with themselves. So if I can do that, that's super cool. I appreciate that.
You've done well, my man, for sure. And,
indeed.
Keep on at it, man, and fuck all the bushes.
Fuck the bushes. take that nature.
Like what a way to end this
Donald Trump quote.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Grab life. Lando,
we can't take you anywhere.
That's my I made up a slogan for the bushfucker that was grab life by the bush and make nature great again.
Oh god.
That's awesome, dude. You got it? Is that on a shirt?
I don't think that's on a shirt yet, but I've been hashtagging that with all my bushfucker stuff, along with think fast hippie and take that nature and
take that nature.
Oh man, you're awesome, dude!
You gotta
love
fuck
it.
Around. You gotta have fun with it. If you're not smiling once in a while, then what are you doing?
Sure, dude. All right, hoser. Take off. You have a good day. And on that note,
appreciate it, guys. Nice to talk to you again.
Happy New Year, good day.
All right, sure.
And use Nick's name too in there and your name. Yeah.
Lando, yeah. Nick, and Justin. All right.
So this, do you want me to say that it was generated?
Beep boop, this is generated by an AI.
Welcome to Forge Side Chat, the podcast about blacksmithing in Canada. I'm Justin Lamoureux. This is Lando Novak and Nick Verbrey. We're your hosts. Hello. Join us as we dive into the techniques, traditions, and stories of blacksmiths across our country, from the early settlers who forged tools and weapons to the modern artisans creating beautiful and functional works of art. Blacksmithing has a rich history in Canada. Whether you're a seasoned blacksmith, a curious newcomer, or just someone who appreciates the skill and craftsmanship of forging iron, this podcast is for you. So grab your hammer and let's get started. Thank you, ChatGTP.
Beep boop, this intro has been done by an AI.
You should have muted your ass, fucking asshole. I can call you that because you put that as your name, you guy.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that I could do that. I always just showed up as Nick. And then when Mike was on here, he put himself as Mike Jones, bitch. I'm like, oh, this opens up all sorts of possibilities.
Curse words.
Oh boy, it begins. So, that's going to be our new introduction, I guess. Justin, dude, what do you think?
You got to work on that.
I think we're going to need to workshop that a little bit.
It was long. It was rough. It was just the second cycle through ChatGTP, but like you can ask it like a bunch of stuff to like narrow it down to make it edgier, and it'll like spit it back out so that it's different, like in a different voice.
Yeah, that's insane, dude.
The machines are taking over.
Justin is on top of this kind of stuff. This is where Justin Lamoureux has always been very inspirational to me. Is this guy's always going with what's the new thing? TikTok, now ChatGPT. He's got his own YouTube channel going, and he's always pushing that. He's always looking at what are the new techniques in knife making with kumai and Damascus, and coming up with great patterns. And you know, Justin, you've been somebody I've looked up to for a long time. You're a hard worker, and you know, Happy New Year to you, man.
Happy New Year. To both of you. Jeez. Wow.
Thanks.
Compliments. And there's stuff that you said that's not even true. So I need to live up to these things in the near future and like
gauntlet thrown down.
It was all lies, actually. It was all lies. I fucking hate lies. You.
I'm just finally excited that that Justin and I are on a podcast at the same time, because together. We never are.
I know, we got surprised there with the Dennis Tyrell episode a few weeks back. That was fun, and that was like Dennis reached out to me and he's like, when are you gonna ask me to be on your podcast? And I was like, I don't even have a podcast anymore, man.
Talk to Lando. But, yeah, I did talk to Lando like a long time ago. The fucking hoser's ignoring me. Who the fuck ignores Dennis Tyrell?
But the cool thing, I talked to him after the podcast and I said, yo, so what would it take for me to get onto that chopper challenge? Because I've got a YouTube channel. It's reaching 1,000. It's going to be there really soon.
Fuck yeah. Like, nice.
You got to reach 1,000 followers and then you can be part of it. And I was like, oh shit. Okay. I need to step up my game.
Start promoting that stuff, man.
Yeah, please follow me on YouTube at Rainy Day Forge. Thank you.
Oh God, I'm so remiss. I'm totally not following your YouTube channel. I'm doing that now. Doing it now. Sorry.
That's all right. You know, it's honestly, it's one of those things that if you don't like YouTube or you don't consume YouTube a lot, lots of people don't have accounts, but. Damn, it's great to have an account. So if you don't have one, go sign up and then go follow me.
There you go. You now have one new subscriber.
Yes.
I've been following you for a long time, dude. Actually, at one point, I was like trying to watch your videos almost on repeat when I was in the shop because I was just like, support my homie,
get him,
man.
Some views. Yeah.
And then my internet stopped working in my shop, so now I don't watch videos in there anymore. Yeah.
That's too bad. I'd like to go into your shop to see what you're watching on YouTube. It's often pretty awesome.
Mm. Yes. There's never any sketchy content on Lando's.
Oh, boy. So give us a year in review, bud. How you been? What have you been up to? What's new? Don't tell us what's coming up this year, but what's happened last year? What did you do that was awesome and exciting?
Last year, I did not teach a day, which was pretty huge for me because I've always gone back to the classroom, either subbing or taking small contracts. And that was kind of a huge deal for me, not going back, trying to like, no, I'm not going back. I'm going to do the best I can with what I've got and not make money. And eventually I'll make a little bit of money and I'll cherish that money that I have and whatnot. So it was a fairly, because it was like my first full-time year as a blacksmith, bladesmith, I feel like I'm still learning. Like, we're in Manitoba, if you like, you do the Google trend search or whatever, we're like bottom of the barrel for people who want knives and stuff. So I'm in the worst possible place for it. But like, that made me think of other ways of generating revenue. And I've got the TV series coming out hopefully in February or March. So that's my big thing for the year. And I don't know, I'm just kind of living life. I'm looking, well, all right, I don't want to talk about next year, but like, I think I'm going to take a small teaching contract before the end of the school year so I can kind of chill out during the summer a little bit. Last year was kind of like a bit of a write-off, so.
Yeah. I hear you, man. You cherish your summertime too, man. Canoe trips and whatnot.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. And we didn't go as a family. And usually that's like the highlight of the year is going out and parking on an island in the middle of nowhere and having fires, having beers and fishing and bonding, skinny dipping. Well, not with the family, but
copious amounts of cocaine, you know, all the regular family activities.
Were you there, Nick?
I was in the bushes watching you.
That's what that was.
As he's taking a drink,
Nick was a bit like Bigfoot.
I did too look a little bit like Bigfoot anyway. So
I don't know what else, man. That's about it for the year. Like,
how about you tell our listeners a little bit about this whole television thing you're working on?
Okay, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, sure. If you haven't heard, if you're a new listener, I've talked about it before, but it's a three-part series called Fire and Slice. It's going to be broadcasted from Manitoba and East, so on Bell MTS and TV1. So it'll be on their streaming service. And I'm getting to the end. I've got my pre-final notes right here in hand of what changes need to be done to each episode. And I'm grateful for that because I can just go at each time indicated and just kind of fix up the stuff that was noted. So it's long, but whatever. It's there. I don't care. It's just that it takes time. I was hoping I'd be done in like October. That's last year.
It's a pretty big learning process for you. I'm sure there was lots to adjust to with having to do something that's, you know, television production, hey?
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm used to doing YouTube edits and this is like, no, we want a TV show. So it's kind of a different way of structuring everything.
You think it's going to affect the way you do your YouTube edits?
Yeah, definitely. I was filming last week and I was like, okay, why would I start with filming my introduction to start with. Like, that's like mentally you're thinking, I'm going to make this knife, and you talk about it, and then you make the knife, and then at the end you're like, this is the knife I made. Where in reality, you should be like, all right, let's just, I'm making this knife, and then at the end, I'm going to do the introduction because I'll actually know what I actually made. And then I could do my conclusion there too. And then once I put it in the computer, I'll see where should I give some explanations, and then I'll go refilm that. So there's all, like, it's not linear as I had used to do. And now I'm kind of changing the order of things. So it makes things easier. And even today when I was editing, I was like, man, I talk constantly with like the cameras there, and I'm just blah, 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 talking stuff that I think is important. And then I'm looking at myself on the computer and I'm like, shut up, man. Just do the work. And then when you're done, do that stuff. So
less talky, more 4G.
Yeah, totally. But I don't know. I see myself in my little monitor, because I've got like a studio monitor that shows me what I'm filming above my camera. And it's like this, like we see ourselves.
Psst, I love you.
Psst, love
oh,
you.
Shit. Again.
Pouring beer on the mic.
Pause.
Did you pause it? No.
Yeah.
You can
pause. No, he absolutely hasn't paused it. Oh, good Lord. What's going on there, Lando?
Put your pants back on.
Hold on.
Oh, things are going disastrously wrong.
He's editing this out.
You know what? Given the trends lately, probably not. Every time we say we're going to edit something out, it doesn't. We interrupt this podcast to bring you this breaking news story. For all of you blacksmiths and makers out there, Maritime Knife Supply is offering you an opportunity to up your game. Purchase yourself a Paragon or even heat-treating kiln and save $100 at checkout using the code FSCKILN. That's right. Go on their website and browse through their amazing selection of equipment and supplies. Buy 10 belts for the price of 9.
All right, sorry about that, guys. I had to open my can and splash liquid on places that liquid shouldn't be splashed.
Alcohol abuse, man.
It's not really my concern, to be honest.
What are you sipping on there, Lando?
It's some sort of fucking vodka soda thing called a nude.
Oh, that's a floofy drink.
Floofy drink.
Nice. I do have beers, but stupid me, I left the case sitting in the house and they got warm and are not the greatest when they're warm. So I do have a coffee one that I've got in the fridge that I could have tapped into, but honestly, I don't like coffee beers, and I totally bought it by accident. I didn't mean to buy it, and I'm just like,
oh, it's a coffee beer.
Yeah, a coffee flavored beer. Which or coffee. One?
I've had one that was pretty good, but it was I can't remember the brand of it off the top of my head, but it was a stout.
Yeah.
A coffee stout. Those flavors kind of work a bit better together.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of stouts and
Oh,
well, yeah, you're really, that's totally not your bag then.
Yeah,
I'm a fruity hoppy.
In Winnipeg that has the Stir Stick Stout, which has coffee in it, and it's a punch to the face. It's full of flavor. I like it. And then there's, I think it's Kona, and it's like a coconut coffee beer, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe be okay.
It is all right. I was like, okay.
Pretty sure the one I've got. Pretty sure the one I got in the fridge is from One Great Brewing City.
Oh, no way. Okay.
Which is Winnipeg based as well.
Yep.
I'm a bit of a purist when it comes to beer, which, grain, water, hops, yeast. I don't want anything else. Done. Stop putting shit in my beer.
Molson Canadian.
I mean, like, I still prefer to there be like a good beer. You know, I am drinking it because I like the taste, not because I'm seeking a desired effect.
Yeah, you know? I can relate there, bud.
Yeah. Barking Squirrel has been one of the ones I've liked an awful lot.
That's tasty. Yeah. I like that.
It's a good beer.
Yeah. Cool. So, backtracking, we were talking about your YouTubing, you're doing the channel, or the TV series there, and I totally cut you off. You were, I don't even remember where we were, dude. Do you recall? Like, this, I know you're talking about
the TV series. I was kind of going through, like, how it affected how I'm filming things in the garage now, in the shop. And I think I covered it mostly. I think I'm more efficient with it right now.
Yeah.
So
was there a big change up to your equipment?
No, but the environment, yes.
That's like, oh, I wanted to ask you.
Yeah. Hang on.
Your environment. How has your environment changed?
Lando, that's a fucking great question.
That Lando always right on top of things.
Stop stealing his questions.
I beat him to it this time.
It's not my fault.
I pretty much everything was knife related or blacksmith related in the shop. Everything else left like a couple years ago. But now it was more about the lighting. I had like tube lights, fluorescent. Yeah. The fluorescent lights. Thanks, Lando.
Beat you to it again, Nick. That was my night. Hey, I did that.
Yeah.
So I put up some LEDs, which makes everything way brighter because I increased the number of LEDs. And I moved a few things around, but really not much. It was more about cleaning. I put up a little bit of drywall where there wasn't drywall, and I don't know. Trying to make it look good as opposed to like just shit lying around.
Well, it's that bringing that up. You've mentioned before about why don't we broadcast the podcast on YouTube. And part of my drawback with that has always been like, well, I'm not recording in the shop. So I feel like the background is just like no one cares to look at this checkered ceiling above me and the white walls behind me. It's like, whatever. Nick is at least in the shop.
Yeah, it's getting a little old, man.
Yeah.
Well, cold or old?
Old. It also is getting a little cold in here. Other reasons we don't have it filmed. You see me sitting here shivering. So my forge is close enough that you could very much hear it over the audio.
Yeah. Just to note on that, though, I would 100% recommend you start putting it on YouTube. It's something that YouTube is all of a sudden, either their algorithm is like boosting this kind of content right now, or people are being more accepting of it right now. But it's spiking right now on YouTube. So
interesting.
From the stuff that I've read recently. Doing a screen grab of the whole thing, or you changing service so that you are or paying for the service, because right now Zencaster's free, right?
Yeah, and it does have a recording video
feature
option. Yeah, we never use it because the extra bandwidth that it'll eat up plus the extra memory that it'll take to do it, I'm just like, this is a lot easier. And to me, like I've always said, the video side to YouTube, I don't see the value audio in watching this versus the audio. Mind you, at the same time, there are a lot of times where I gravitate to YouTube simply for audio, right.
So yeah, I mean, we do occasionally like grab and show stuff, right?
Yeah, and there is that. There can be a lot of that. Plus, you know, like, cheers, buddy. There's the whole thing that, you know, like maybe you're for whatever reason, you don't know about the show because you don't have iTunes or Spotify or what is it that I use? Castbox. Maybe you're not into the podcasting scene, so you haven't worried about these programs that provide you podcasts, and you just happen to come across it on YouTube. I can see the value in it.
Discoverability on YouTube is probably easier than on Spotify. Like, I really don't get any podcasts that, like, oh, what's that? I should listen to that on Spotify.
Right.
I heard it through whatever other podcast, so I should listen to this and I'll go check it out. Where on YouTube, I'll have a full screen of like content that's coming at me. Most of it is curated from the people that I follow, but there's certainly some content on there that's new that I've never seen before. So discoverability is there.
We should just put it up as the, like, just the podcast and just a picture of the logo. It's like, yeah, we're on YouTube.
Honestly, that would probably be a great place to start.
With just audio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better than nothing.
Do you have all the old files?
Better than showing this ugly mug.
Yes, I do. I do have all the old files.
I've got all the, like, episode 1 through 40 or something. So
I think it's
most of them,
it's all accessible through the program we use to upload it.
Oh, you could just download them.
I think so. Yeah.
Sweet. Right.
Look at that. Hey,
look at us not talking about blacksmithing.
So how's the little giant handling
it's
for you?
Tangential.
Yeah. The giant's great right now. I ended up changing the motor on it to a different motor, and it's working great. I finally got to use it in the shop this past during the Christmas break. Made a wine bottle holder that, oh, do you want me to show it to you? This is what YouTube would be great for, eh?
Well, I don't know.
Podcast, when someone says that, I'm like, oh no, they're gonna show them something. Shoot,
I don't want you to show it to me because I want to see it tomorrow and be just as surprised as everybody else. Yeah.
Yeah. So I ended up making an octopus, which is emerging out of the water, and its tentacles are like sticking out and holding the wine bottle.
Wait a minute.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Didn't Derek do this, like, almost the same thing?
Derek made an octopus that's holding onto a wine bottle. What's, and I was what? Like, shit, I was gonna do that too. And I was like, do I go ahead and do it anyway? And I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna change my plan.
Well,
I'm gonna do the same. Well, not the same thing. It's a total different interpretation. Derek's octopus is fully visible. It's a whole octopus and is holding onto the wine bottle. Mine, its face is just coming out of the water, and its tentacles are, like, coming out of the surface of the water.
Hey. What is your favorite sea creature?
I don't know. But I want to bring it back. Oh, this is a dad joke, I feel.
The pussy.
Yeah, I think that Lyndon. Silence was appropriate right there.
I'm not aware of that fish. So, back to the power hammer. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you questions about it.
Drawing out the steel, I used 3/4-inch rod, and drawing it out, creating the tapers. Just like so much better. Oh my god.
Yeah.
It's something I would not have really wanted to do by hand, but with the power hammer, it was like a perfect project for it. So
yeah. What dies are you using for that?
They're pretty much just flat.
Okay.
Yeah. But it smacks pretty damn good. Like I'm thoroughly impressed with it.
Yeah. You don't want to switch out for some combo dies, drawing and flat?
you know, I have the dyes that came with it. The top dye was like heavily rounded, and the bottom dye was flat, and it would just create like a banana shape. So if I had,
that sounds about right.
Yeah, if I could swap out the bottom dye and have the top dye both rounded, it'd be pretty awesome.
Like, just take the angle grinder to it.
Work. What's that?
Just take the good old burr, 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 right angle grinder to it, and
I totally could. I'm tempted. I probably eventually will, but it's something that like I'm not in a rush to modify. I don't want to do what's best for it.
Having different sets of dies for your power hammer, it's a game changer. You need to do it.
Well,
they're not that hard
press,
to make,
right? My press is pretty awesome.
I know, and I'm sure your press is amazing, but believe me, the functionality of your power hammer is going to be radically increased by having a couple of different sets of dies.
Yeah, but changing dies,
it's not that hard.
No,
it's really not that bad. Like, don't get me wrong, on my power hammer. Then.
I'm going to listen to Nick, who has more experience. And
there's that.
What would those dyes be made out of? 4140? Or
you can do them out of 4140.
Yeah. All right.
Do you
have chunks, Lando?
It's that 5160 stuff. It'll work just as well.
Yeah, that'll work. Do them out of like S7, H13, all that stuff. Oh, but that's really... Nice. Yeah, like for the size of the piece compared to how malleable the stuff you're going to be putting underneath it is.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
4140 works just fine. Yeah. You know, and I could give you all sorts of little tips and tricks about how to get the most out of it with like putting holes through dies so that you can fix stuff on it and all sorts of stuff. But we could talk about that in an Instagram chat or something.
Yeah. I'd be
like
scared.
Having a kiss block setup
with the holes through the dies. Like Nick V has that. Not Nick. Sorry, that's you, Sean V. He's got a 50 kilogram Anyang, and he had that kind of system where he would bolt on different die faces, and so I understand what you're saying, but here with the limited range of like and it being mechanical, I'm moving my hands and stuff, you guys can't see.
Yeah, no, I you're talking about like, basically like how little there's much less adjustability in the actual stroke length and the maximum height between dies, right? But there are also ways around that. It should have we'll talk about it in an Instagram.
A whole power hammer.
This is a freaking blacksmithing podcast. Well,
you guys, I digress. But Tony Woodland's waiting in the green room for us. Before we jump into talking with Tony, I want to just throw it out there real quick for us, Justin. What's happening in the new year? What's 2023 got on hold for you? Spill the beans for us, man. The mic is yours, man. Take over, bud. What's going on?
Just want to keep having fun, honestly. I'm loving what I'm doing. I'm on this journey, this path that I guess many blacksmiths and entrepreneurs have gone on before, but for myself, it's kind of new. I'm kind of growing on a business sense, so, and physically, man, I need to lose a bit of weight.
Oh, dude,
sitting
you
and
me both
is not good for you. So I don't know. I want to make cooler knives, better knives, more knives. And if that isn't the path, then I'll choose another path where maybe it's blacksmithing, maybe it's just filming. Who knows? Like, maybe this will just become a hobby. I love it.
I mean, that's a whole cool new skill set you got yourself.
Right. So in my mind, it's more about being an entrepreneur, like doing it for myself and like supporting my family that way. So whatever it takes, awesome, man. Other than like, you know, I don't want to say it.
Back alley prostitution?
Hey!
Heyo! What's going on?
Boy.
It's always just, an option.
Where did I just step back into here? What's going on?
You'll have to listen back, Lando.
I guess so, eh?
Yeah.
Or you're coming out tomorrow.
Yep. Yeah. I'm going to head out into the shop right after this, actually, and whip up something for you guys. I've got a bunch of stuff already made that, I've done a bunch of wine holder grape kind of stuff in the past, right?
Nice.
So I actually had a bin full of grape leaves that I had made, this was like 5 years ago. I've got a big bin full of ball bearings that I bought specifically for grapes.
Nice.
And I've also got a bunch of stem material that I've recently made on the press. So
you just got to piece it together.
Pretty much. Yeah. It'll be quick and dirty.
Weldy, weld, weld.
5 a.m. Yeah.
It's probably going to be another one of those nights. And tomorrow I'm going to go do the paperwork on the dog. He'll become our dog for sure. And on the way there or on the way back, I'm buying a vacuum chamber, dude, with a vacuum pump.
Oh, cool.
Start
one Swedish penis enlarger.
Oh, good Lord. You imagine sticking your schlong into a vacuum chamber with an actual vacuum pump? Oh, God. That sounds Don't like some form of medieval ideas. Torture.
Can we get another doofy impression there, buddy?
Don't bug me while I clean my room.
Oh boy. But yeah, one more step towards that bladesmith career. So
cool. Very cool.
We'll see how that goes. I've wanted to play around with stabilizing wood for a long time, so we'll see where it goes.
Stacy Swallows.
What the fuck? Oh shit. Dude, I thought you were talking about my wife for a second. I'm like, whoa, man, what the fuck?
Okay.
On that note, let's see if we all three can we do it at all three of us at the same time here?
Sure, try.
Okay. Coo, 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 coo. Oh, good day.
Have a good night, gents.
Stick around, eh?
All right, Tundra Jesus, boy. Why on earth do you want to do that? Half the country won't understand it. Sure, boy. Maritime, nice supplies. Good old boys from down east.
Oh, yeah. He's got all the best supplies there down at the best place he can get their supplies at there, eh, boy?
Lord, Tundra. Tell you what. If you want to get yourself a heat treat kiln, either a Paragon or an Even Heat, just enter the code FSCKiln at checkout, and you'll save yourself $100. Sure, boy. Can't beat her.
It's me, Nick. I got a deal from Detroit Linseed Oil. Open up.
Nick's not here, dude.
No, it's me, Nick. If you order $50 or more from Detroit Linseed Oil using the code FORGECHAT10, you'll save 10%.
Dude. Hey, Nick. Somebody's here for you, man.
No, it's me, Nick. Oh, damn it, Lando.
So we've got Douchebag and Finger for You joining us today on the Forgeside Chat. And welcome to the show, Tony Woodland. And I hope you don't mind the debauchery going on here. Jesus.
We take ourselves so seriously.
It was expected. I'm good with it.
Justin, introduction?
Yeah. I'm working on it.
Oh, he's back to that. So Justin has been jumping into the whole new technology trend of AI, and we asked Justin to come up with a new introduction for ForgeSide Chat. So he's hit up ChatGTP. That one.
It's ready.
Okay, roll it.
You ready?
And let's hear it.
It's Tony Woodland, right?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
All right, there we go. All right. Whoops. Here we are. Welcome to ForgeSide Chat, your go-to source for all things blacksmithing in Canada. I'm Justin Lamoureux. This is Lando Novak and Nick Verbri. And tonight we've got Tommy Woodland. And I'm excited to bring you the techniques, traditions, and stories of your nation's blacksmiths. From early settlers to modern artisans, we'll explore the rich history of this timeless trade. Join us at the Forge.
The Forge. Beauty.
The Forge.
It's insane.
I might be the only one actually in the Forge right now, but...
Well, besides,
are you in your shop?
No, I'm not. I'm not in my shop. I'm in my basement.
Damn, dude, you sound so good. You got a wicked microphone or something going on there.
We've upgraded our gear since the last time we talked. Yeah.
That's awesome. Eh? Yeah. So what are you running for gear now, bud?
We've got the Shure MV7 mic, and that it's a big game changer for us. It's got equalizers, everything on the backside, so it makes me sound like I'm on the radio.
Fuck yeah, dude. Beautiful.
Yeah, that's nuts.
I like it.
How you been?
Good, man. Finally getting back at the powerlifting stuff that I've got on the side. So I think the last time we talked I was into full swing, and now I kind of went through some injury stuff and now I'm back at it again. So
all right.
Happy to get back at it because it took a while.
Yeah, man, and that can be tough on the soul, man, when you're big into that kind of stuff and, you know, life, for whatever reason, takes you away from something that brings you a lot of joy.
Yeah, so I ended up, it was an injury that took me out of it. The last time I lifted was, what I consider competitive, was May of 21. I did provincials and regionals, but I was not what I consider competitive the last time I lifted. So back to provincials in March and hoping to qualify for nationals for 2024. So that's the plan.
Awesome. Sweet. Wow. Sweet. Awesome, man. Good for you, buddy.
So what kind of weights are required for like nationals?
You had to ask. I think.
What are you lifting now?
Well,
and how much further do you have?
What's your combined looking like?
Combined right now looks like shit. But to be completely honest, but yeah, the last time I lifted and where I felt I was competitive, I was just over 1,300 pounds total. So 507 squat, 507 dead, and a 281. Bench. So
damn
man.
So yeah,
I thought picking up that 400 pound anvil was a feat and a half, dude. Man, 500 pounds, holy frick.
Yeah. Are you doing that raw or are you
all
deadlift, suit, straps, etc.?
No, that's all raw and in a tested federation. So
atta boy, good for you. Man,
no juice for you.
No juice for me. Yeah, so at some point I'm going to try playing around in the strongman side of things too, but it's been fun. It's been a battle, like I say, getting back to, like, I had tendonitis in both knees. That's what took me out. So,
oh yeah,
that was a battle for a bit, but now I'm back to squatting what I should be. So
yeah, that could fuck up a squat, man.
it totally did. Feels like both knees are going to explode while you're doing it. So,
Rick. So you just exercise and stretches to get back into it, or
I found a really good physio and he helped me through it. So it was a lot of basically stretching and different exercises. And surprisingly, it was all in my hips.
Yep.
So it was, no, it was tightness in my hips that was affecting my knees to cause the tendonitis. So
that's what used to cause me lower back pain. Just tight hips and just pull.
Exactly.
Damn, dude. I've done athletic therapy numerous times throughout history now, and my history. And
back in my day.
I'm so fucking old.
To stretch the shit out of them.
I'm so fucking old. Athletic therapists are fucking all about core strength, dude. You got to work on your core. Everything comes from the core. If you don't have a strong core, you're effed. And that's been definitely one of my issues in the past, man. That's tough.
Yeah, I've been lucky, man. With any of the physios I've used in the past, they all understood and were athletic themselves. Like, I have never had anybody go, "Ah, you should just stop doing that." Never had anybody say that, so I've been pretty fortunate. Because wanting to put 500 pounds on your back is not normal.
That's true.
So
I miss doing that kind of stuff some days. Stupid ankle.
Damn, dude. Yeah. I just hit 40. Well, I'm 41 now, so that was a big thing of it too. I wanted to keep moving. It kind of.
Shit, when was your birthday?
October.
No way. Happy birthday, but I'll hop it belated.
Thanks.
I turned 41 right away as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. What's been like, I wanted, like, sorry to kind of totally change tracks here, but blacksmithing is kind of supposed to be the topic of the show, and you do blacksmithing, and I want to know, like, what's been new for you in the last year or so, dude? Where you been at, what you've been doing, what you've been working on, what's keeping you busy in the blacksmithing world?
I'm just puttering around in the shop mainly right now. Big thing for me has been the going to events, like the Maker Camp event, and then they have a group forge project that they do. They're doing another one this year. They did one last year. They built a fire pit last year. I'm told this year it's going to be benches for the fire pit that we're going to build while we're there. So
cool.
That was kind of fun. It's a lot like a hammer in, but you kind of have a specific task to do. And there's usually been a lot higher end smiths than I'm used to being around. So it's been very, very nice to learn from those guys. So,
I hear you, man.
That is really one of the
It is one of the best
things about going to group events.
We've had some fun. Like at camp, I made a knife out of a rasp. That was kind of fun, a little bit different. Not a knife maker, but trying to play one every now and again.
Yeah, I hear that. Apparently, I'm a bladesmith because I've sold one, but...
Yep, sold a knife. Lando's a bladesmith.
Nice.
Yeah.
But in my own shop, right now, just kind of puttering. Mainly, I got a couple people have come in that I've taught a little bit here and there, just some basic smithing stuff. Like, just let them come in, dent my anvil up. let them leave.
It feels good to help somebody else learn the craft, eh?
Yeah, I joke about denting the anvil. I actually dented it myself while they were in there. I have a cast anvil that's what they use, and I use my Columbia. But I was trying to help there was a mother and son that were in the shop, and I was trying to help her work through the project because we're trying not to take like 6 hours to make a hook. So, and I was working away trying to like straighten the piece out for her, and I just mishit. Ting.
Fuck.
But anyways, it buffed out. It was fine.
So
nothing to see here.
Yeah, exactly.
You still working with Working Hands podcast, guys, freaking moving up the ladder in the podcasting world, doing an excellent job. And right now you just started your contest again that you guys ran last year. You're doing the same thing again this year.
Yeah.
Make What You Fear. And I wanted to ask you guys about that. So it just started. Like, it's ready to go. People are open to start working on things. Where does it end? Tell us about the competition, bud.
Yeah, so it started on Wednesday, so it would have been the 4th, I believe, January 4th. So it runs till February 28th. We shortened it up this year. Last year we went 4 months, and it just seemed to be too long. A lot of people pushed it off, like, because we're in the kind of the maker world, and everybody loves to procrastinate, and it was just too long. And so we found a lot of people just finished in the last week. So we're like, let's just shorten it up. Plus we found that there were a lot of competitions seemed to finish that same time that we had set up. I can't even remember the exact date last year. I think it was in April or May. And yeah, so this year we've just decided to shorten it up, tighten it up a little bit. I mean, we learned from the first one. So now it goes till the end of February. And the idea this year is that it's to make something for fitness or active lifestyle, as we kind of coined it. So last year it was make what you fear and make something out of a material you haven't used before. So...
And I totally did not nail that at all.
So this year is more of if you want to stay in your wheelhouse, stay in your wheelhouse. But it just, we decided that, you know, it kind of hit us both, like myself and Keith, when we get talking about it, because I'm dealing with the injuries and getting back into my lifting, and Keith's talking about, you know, trying to better himself, get some weight off, do like just promote general health.
Is he 40 as well?
He is. Yeah, he's like a month older, I think, something like that. we're just like the right same age.
I know. I think I know what I'm gonna make.
Oh, yeah.
Something that's been like,
you're gonna forge your own 50 pound kettlebell.
Why so light?
Maybe.
Yeah, so that's kind of the idea was just for, and we've seen some people already posting about it. A few people, they're gonna, like, one guy posted that he's gonna make a cabinet, but the cabinet's gonna be to store all of his items for, beside his spin bike that he uses. So that's the kind of the idea. It's just something that helps you along in, like, maybe a fitness journey of some kind. So. It's been
cool. I think it's a great limitation. Like, usually that kind of stuff where you narrow it down onto a topic like that, someone's going to come out with something like kind of ingenious. I bet they're really going to think about it and come out with something interesting.
Yeah, we've got a few people have come to us with some interesting ideas, because they're always asking if it's within the parameters, because we do have some prizes and stuff that you can win at the end. So
right.
We haven't finalized all that yet, but we had pretty good prizes at the end of last year, and we're hoping to do the same, if not a little bit better this year. So
somebody's got to forge and fab their own, like, you know, spin bike or something.
There's a lot of bicycles coming up. There's a lot of people making.
Oh, there is actually.
There's people either using a bike as a basis, or, well, actually, that's mainly what I've seen is a couple guys have gone and either bought like a really cheap bike or found an old bike that they're going to repurpose in some way. So there's a lot of that too. So it's.
I've been needing myself a rack, a squat rack, or barbell rack type thing that I would also like to be able to hang a punching bag from. So I think the time is now.
Yeah. So that's all inside of this competition. Is that it's just anything that you can use to help yourself along or help someone else along. It doesn't even have to be just for you. So
would my vacuum pump that I'm getting, would that count?
That'll help you along in a very certain way.
Yeah, you are getting older.
He picked up on the relevance there. Well, hey, you know. What's in hold for the future this year, my man? What do you got in plan for 2023?
Actually, not a whole lot in the shop. I'm going to try and keep busy out there, but this year is going to be a big travel year for myself, actually. Myself and my girlfriend have a plan to go to Norway for 10 days.
Oh, wow.
So that's a big part of our day. We're doing I forget the cruise line, but we're going to be cruise people for 10 days.
Oh, gnarly. Okay.
But yeah, it'll be our first trip to Europe. So that's our big event for me for next year.
So you're not going to get a chance to visit somebody if you get a chance to like maybe stop in Sweden somewhere there and maybe go visit a blacksmith of a sort or something like that?
I doubt it. It would be nice.
Yeah, where's Torbjörn Offman out of?
I believe he's Swedish.
Yeah, Torbjörn. Sweden, eh?
Yeah. And I don't. Have you ever heard of? It's Frosty Forge. It's not Christopher Frosted, but there's a Frosty Forge in Sweden. Can't remember his actual name, but Smedge Frost. That's his name. Have you heard of? I don't know if I'm saying that right. It's probably completely wrong. That's where I got my acorn dyes from. Dude is solid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well,
Sweden.
Yeah, Sweden. What do you guys got in plan for the podcast? Anything like outside of the competition that you guys got in plan for the future? Or?
Not really. I mean, just continue trying to get it done every week. Done good so far. We haven't missed one yet. We're in 79. This one we're recording this week will be 79. So,
oh shit, me and you guys, we're like almost right beside each other with that.
Yeah,
we just put out 74.
Yeah, we started August of 21, but we got recorded like 4 and then just put them out, just bang, bang, bang. So,
nice.
But, yeah, it's been fun. We'll have the competition. That'll keep us busy for a while. Then we got some stuff with camp where we do the maker camp maker swap every year. We'll be doing that again in 23. So
sweet. Tony, I'm looking at your Instagram. what's up with your forge? Tell me about what you've got here. Is it a ribbon burner?
Yeah. Yeah. That's homemade. That's all me. I made that
nice
3 or 4 years ago now. But yeah,
it looks like
it's.
How would you describe that shape? Like a half circle, like a.
It's a
like machine shed shape.
Yeah, I call it a dome. It's almost like a dome. Like a Quonset hut. Yeah, it's a. I got a 9x3 burner in it, and the body's 14 inches long, and the arch at the top is about 6 inches. So do a fair bit of work in that. It's a lot of days. It's actually too big, but,
big.
For most of what I do, but then there's the times where you're like, oh, I wish it was longer. That happens a lot.
Oh, that's what she said.
New Lando couldn't let that one go.
No.
Right? No.
I figured douchebag was going to get it before I did, but
yeah, I mean, he'd be to it again.
So how did you make that shape? Like, how did you cast that?
So that's an old air compressor. So the steel, there's a steel shell in there. So it's an old compressor that I made a mold with actually just cardboard to get the shape of the dome. Right. And yeah, it was.
So the inside was cardboard and the outside was steel?
Yeah, so the cardboard was just to get the shape, but yeah, that was like how I casted it. But it was
smart,
yeah.
And it's all still sitting. Like when I need to redo it, I've still got everything. Nothing was destroyed when I did it, so it's all ready to go. Because I've done that twice. The first time I did it, I didn't mix the refractory correct, and it didn't come out the greatest. Like it within about 6 months, I was looking. If you hit it, you could see it start to crack. And then this time I went back to my refractory guy and got a medium weight castable. The first stuff was a heavy, was like a dense. And but then this lighter stuff actually came out a lot nicer. Like it's like I feel like it's gonna last a long time for the amount that I use it.
Cool. Do you have an inside coating on it as well, or?
So I did put the what is it, the
ITC
100. I did put that on it. It does seem to have made a difference as far as like heat times. So I went from probably 30 minutes heat up because of how much refractory is in that to probably 15 minutes and I'm working. So nice. It did make a big difference for me. Like I say, that's why I think the forge itself was too large. Because the heat up time was too much at first, but now that I've kind of got things dialed in, and I'm learning how to use that burner better, with added insulation in that in the ITC or yeah, I think it's ITC.
Yep.
Using that ITC 100 seemed to help quite a bit. So
some of this stuff right here. But not this number.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the same company. Good old Princess Auto.
You got it. They don't have the 100 at our Princess Auto anymore.
I
haven't seen it there for a long time.
I had to order it. I had to order it on the website.
Okay. Good to know. Yeah.
What kind of controls you got going for your blower?
Me, myself, and I. So
Oh, no way.
Yeah. It's all hand. Well, I mean, they're all basically, nobody's got a PLC running the thing, but no. So what I have is there's a louver on the fan itself. I leave that wide open, and then on the discharge of the fan, there's a gate there that I use to control. Gate. Yeah, so I use that blast gate to control my air that's going in. So makes a big difference. I found once I started controlling it with that instead of the gate that's comes on the thing, it made a huge difference. It's a lot more controllable. Like one turn on that makes a huge difference. Like I can really dial it in.
Yeah.
What kind of fan are you using?
It's an Amazon jobby. I don't know. It's a two.
The big green thing?
Yeah. The big
green thing. Yeah.
Yeah. The big green one that everybody seems to have. It's a two inch outlet. And it works really well. I've been happy with it since I got it. I had a smaller one. I can't remember the brand name. It's all stuff I got through Amazon. It's just easier to find that stuff on there. And the one I had before, run it full out, and it just didn't seem to get the job done. So,
Yeah, the one I've got for my forge, oddly enough, I found that it like on my old setup is just a forest air blower was working fine, but I had to have it kind of like hanging off the tube so that there was like a bit of an air gap for it to blow into the tube. For whatever reason, that just is what worked. And I think what it did is it kind of like created a forced air Venturi system.
might have pulled more air in. Different.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah,
sometimes I'm one of these lunatics that's running an actual variable speed controller for the green Amazon fan. It's got its issues.
Yeah.
But it does work.
Yeah, I didn't want to go that route. That was a possibility when I was first looking at it, but that's why I did that blast gate. It seems to really make a big difference.
Yeah, I have a blast gate on mine as well.
So oh, okay.
I don't know. Maybe I'll try playing around with using the blast gate to do more control.
Yeah, the one thing I do have to put on it that I haven't done yet is a solenoid for if I ever lose power. That's a must. Because then that'll shut my gas off.
I haven't gotten around to that either.
Yeah, I've seen them. I found them. I just haven't. It's something I do have to do. That's a safety thing but I don't walk away from my shop. Like I stay right in my shop. If I walk away, the forge is shut off. So I do at least make that point to not like just walk away and be randomly dumping propane into a hot firebox.
Yeah, I mean, come on. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, my neighbors won't like me after that. That's for sure.
You still working out of your shed?
Yeah, still in a 12 by 12 shed. It works for me.
Oh, Nick, you hear that?
Yeah, somebody who's got just a little bit less space than me.
Yeah, 12 by 12, I can pretty much touch the walls standing in the middle. But yeah, it works well. For one person, it's great. Like I said, I had a few people in there when I was just doing a little teaching session. It got a little tight then, but I have two nice big double doors that open up to the outside, so made it easy so they could work. We could go out and work kind of off the apron of the shop kind of thing. So
just made me think of an Instagram video I saw where there was a cop that arrested some chick and she's sitting in the backseat of the car and he's like, "What's that bag down there?" And she, "That's some bag. That's my coochie lips." Two big wide doors open. Man. I don't know.
Ooh.
And on that note,
what on earth is happening?
You are no longer PG.
I don't think this was ever PG.
No.
We push the boundaries, eh?
It's good fun. Always good fun.
That's what we aim for, man. That's what we aim for. Thank you so much for sitting down with us, dude. Justin, I know you've got to get going. I myself have a shop screaming my name, waiting to get me in there and do some work. Tony, Happy New Year, man.
Yeah, Happy New Year to all three of you. Not used to seeing this many people.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, me neither. To our listeners, Happy New Year's. And
keep your stick on the ice.
Oh, what? Yeah, there you go. The only ice I want to see is at the bottom of my glass, okay?
I'm there.
Bobby Orr quote for you. Cheers.
All right, everyone be quiet. Lando is stepping up to the laptop. He's going to maritimeknifesupply.ca to buy himself a Paracon or even heat kiln. Everyone be more quiet, please. I'd like to hear the grass growing. He's going to the checkout. He's entering the code FSCKiln. And he's saving himself 10%. He's made it. He has gotten himself $100 off. I screwed it up. But anyways.
Like that. That's wicked, dude. How can I play a part in it, dude?
God, I've just got just all these fucking random ideas. Lando, he's ordering a kiln from maritimeknifesupply.ca. This does not rhyme, but we're doing a song anyway. Lando.
Nick, he's such a swell little guy. Nick, he's going to head over to Maritime Knife Supply. Nick, he's entering in the code right now. FSE kill to save $100.
Instead of an after show, we should just post all of this. Oh man, we are way too far gone for us to be trying to do this right now.
I don't know why, man. My head is just a mess, dude. Like, what the hell? Too. Fuck. Oh, geez, Louise.
Do it! Go to maritimeknifesupply.ca now! Use the code FSCKiln to get an even heat or Paragon heat treating kiln. Do it!
You started going to Arnie there.
No! You must head over to the Twiller, LindsayDoyle.com and enter in the code ForgeChat10. Save yourself. I thought mine was bad.
I told you it was bad, dude. You guys told me it was a Dennis Terrell. I was like, no, that was good. I was like, fuck. Did you even listen to what I said? It might have started off okay, but yeah, it went real bad there for a little bit. Started going into like demonic barbarian there or something. I was like, what the fuck? You can always head over to DeTulaLindsay.com and use the code ForgeChat10 to save yourself 10% on orders $50 or more. Yeah, it's a wicked deal. I highly suggest you do it. Just fucking do it, okay? And soak that shit into Tula linseed oil.
That was just like a nothing burger. It's like bread, and I was waiting for the meat. There's more bread. Just there you go. It was a nothing burger, but it kind of worked. Oh, we can do it like American drug ads. Yeah. Have you been experiencing incomplete or inconsistent heat treatment of your work? Ask your doctor.
That's good. I like that.
Ask your doctor about Paragon or Even Heat treatment kilns from Maritime Knife Supply. If you act now, you can go and use the code FSCKILNS to save $100. Side effects may also include burns.
Happiness. Happiness with a sprinkle of joy.
And anal seepage.
God. Where did that come from, dude?
That was an actual side effect of a drug, or a food additive, I should say, called Olestra. That was the side effect. Anal seepage.
Oh, yeah?
Just like...
Dude, don't do that one. Whoops. Was that a fart? Well, it would have been. Olestra.
Shartzerus.com.
Have you talked to your children about heat treating? Now's your chance. How do you break the ice? It's already been broken. They're there. You're there. Talk about it. Maritime Knife Supply is your place to go. Hey, what? Nick. Have you checked out MaritimeKnifeSupply.ca lately?
Yeah, I was on there the other day. Why? Is there some sort of special deal?
Yeah, did you pick? Well, there's always the special deal that we offer. I mean, you can go in there and use the code FSCKILN when you're buying a, what is it, Paragon or Even Heat Kiln. It saves you like $100. But, I mean, I was on there the other day and I ordered a couple hoodies. And have you gotten any like swag from Lawrence at all? Have you ever tried any of
this
stuff?
No, I haven't gotten any swag from him, though I do rather desperately need to order some grinding belts. And I know he's got the 10 belts for the price of 9 thing going on. So I think I might take advantage of that.
Can't beat that. Yeah, can't be beat, man. That's the deal right there, man. Across Canada, freaking North America wide, man. And the shipping rates, speeds, I mean... It's like a no-brainer, dude. Just go for it. And my hoodie's probably going to be here tomorrow, most likely, with the way he ships. And I think I just ordered it, like, Friday or something. I can't remember what day I placed the order.
Well, that's
just
badass.
Bang, bang. Like, yeah. His hoodies are badass, man. They're so comfortable. I was like, last time I ordered one, this time I ordered two.
Well, I do actually need a new work hoodie. Mine are getting a bit decrepit.
That's what happens, man. My hoodies go to crap, dude. And they're good prices. He's only charging $30 for a hoodie.
That's pretty sweet.
It's a wicked deal. Yeah, man. And he's got his baseball caps look amazing too. He was sold out when I went to place my order, so I didn't get myself a ball cap, but yeah, freaking check it out. Go buy those other things too, the belts and the, you know, check out his, he's got brought back grinders now, dude. Like,
what doesn't he have, right? If you can find something that he doesn't have that's somehow relevant to knife making, he will probably get it for you. That Lawrence fella
just keeps on expanding his game, dude. He's schwell. He's very schwell. Yeah. Not to downplay the fact that we also deal with our friend Doss in there at the Twiller, Lindsay Doyle, and he's an amazing gent as well, and you know, he's hooking up the crowd with the code ForgeChat10. Save yourself 10% over there.
And orders $50 or more. Get yourself some linseed oil, some flax wax.
Linshield. I like the Linshield, dude. He added some carnauba to that. It's really nice.
Right on.
Yeah, it dries a little bit harder than the flax wax does.
I shall have to give it a look.
Cool. Oh, I should have asked Justin. I think he used the Twiller linseed oil on his sculpture that he made. He just made that sculpture. Mm. Yeah. Oddly enough, we're only recording this a day or two later than we actually did the interview section of it. And since then, I hung out with Justin and we showed off our wine bottle display sculptures.
That yeah, made, that.
Which also.
Wow, dude. That thing is gorgeous.
Mine wasn't even built when we record. His is fucking amazing, dude. And Derek Foster's too. Like, holy crap, dude. I made a post about this on Instagram the other day. I feel like I'm walking with giants, dude. Like, literally.
Don't sell yourself short, man. I was wildly impressed by yours. And this is one of those things where I realized that I definitely have a niche when it comes to blacksmithing, because I look at some of these art projects and go, like, I would not have the first idea of even where to start. I think I'm definitely someone who needs to deal with the purely functional first.
I don't know, man. It's not like I had a plan in my, and that's okay. So there's two different mindsets to it, is, and I don't know what the third mindset is because I didn't get Justin's input on this, but I got Derek Foster's input, and he had a dream about what he wanted to make. Wow. And his wife Tracy bugged him, like, don't you want to like draw it out or something like that, so you remember? He's like, no, it's there, dude. It's there. I know exactly what I want to build, man. And his was so crazy because the portion of that held the wine bottle itself, he added like a wood grain texture to all of that. It looked like shipwreck is what it looked like. And it was forged steel. Like, dude, it's all in the details. This is something that somebody else pointed out with mine. They were like, dude, your attention to detail. And I was like, that's what does it. Those little details.
Yeah.
I had a happy accident.
Yeah, man. Too. Like, when it comes to that artistic and sculptural style of blacksmithing, like, I just don't have the brain for it. If somebody comes up to me and says, hey, can you make me an X, you know, whatever it happens to be, right? I can do that, but I'm not the kind of person who comes up with these sculptural ideas and forms in my mind. It's just never been the way a kind of brain works. I'm like, I've got an idea about like, you know, like things I can do to make something more awesome. Like, I'll sit there and, you know, spend just outlandish amounts of time doing like really fine layout and stuff to go and do file work.
No, that's all you have to do is just sit there. That's all you got to do. And now everything is more awesome.
Yeah. No, I'm just, like I said, I'm not the artistic type. I start with the functional and then move on to how to make it aesthetically pleasing afterwards. But you can't do that with sculpture. It just doesn't work.
I I don't know how to explain my aspect of, because like I gave you Derek's aspect there, and then my aspect of it is like, when for my sculpture that I made, I had no vision whatsoever. I knew there was some parts that I had in shop already that I was wanting to use. Like I've gone out and I've bought a lot of ball bearings because I've done some grape sculpture in the past, and the ball bearings work really well for the grapes.
Makes sense.
And then I had some grape leaves that I had forged out. I had blanks cut and I had textured them somewhat, but I didn't put like big veins in them. So I had to put the large veins into them. That was a little bit of work. Just, and those little things, as you're working it, your mind just kind of like starts to like develop an idea, like, where is this leaf gonna go once I'm done? And then I also had like the textured stem stuff. Like I did a few textured stem rods or whatever that I was gonna use for the arbor that, yeah, I'm making. And when I looked, I was like, well, this is perfect for the sculpture. And that bar was like 5 feet long.
Oh, really?
And it's sitting on a plate. It looks like it's a foot long, yeah, now. How crazy is that, nuts, eh?
No, it was really amazing.
I threw on that feather to it, I had that feather sitting on the bench from something from just Christmas time. I had made a feather, and I was like, damn, that, this, yeah, feather would. It needed something else. I was thinking about maybe trying to forge like maybe a mouse to go on there, or a chipmunk or something like that. And then I looked at the clock and realized that it was 5 o'clock in the morning or something. I was like, oh shit, man, I ain't got no time to fucking do nothing else. What else can I throw in here real quick? But that's what I mean. Like sometimes you don't have a plan and you just kind of go with what happens and have happy accidents. Like I didn't know for sure where that little.
I can't do that. I can't go into forging without a plan. I've got to have it thought out ahead of time.
Okay, well, think about it this way. No forging allowed. Here's a scrap bin of random metal parts. Some of them may have been forged, so you got some tapered stuff in there and stuff like that. And I want you to make me a wine bottle holder, something that can display a wine bottle in a little bit of a something fancy way. Here's a scrap bin. You can use anything in the scrap bin. That's all you can use. There's, if you want to forge something to shape, like bend it up and stuff like that, and you've got 6 hours, throw something together.
Honestly, I would end up doing something really simple, like just like some way create a grid. So you get one of those kind of, you know, multiple bottle holder style ones.
But the thing that you'll find with that is that you've put yourself in a position where your mind has no choice but to start exploring what's possible.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I need to start doing some of those, like, you know, what can you do with a X number of inches of steel? What can you turn it into? You should try some of those.
That I found was extremely difficult, man. I think you could do very well with that because you've got a lot more forging experience than I do. So you can probably look at a piece of steel like that and see a lot more potential in it than I
can. Like, my technical forging skills are pretty good. You know, like, I never sit there and call myself any kind of master or anything, but, you know, I'm a reasonably good technician at both the anvil
except and for
the power hammer.
With fishing. You told me you're really good at that one aspect of fishing. You're a master of that.
Fishing?
Yeah, putting the bait on the hook. You told me you were a master of it.
Huh?
You're a master baiter.
And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I walked into that face first. I am not having a good day. Don't do that to me.
It's late.
Anyways, yes, I am a good forging technician. I can do all of the things that one would need to be able to do to kind of pull off whatever you want. And for me,
all the things.
For me, it's just, that's what she said. You know, when it comes to doing artistic work, I just don't have the vision for it. If you draw me something and say, this is a part, I need you to make it, I can sit there and figure out, like, how to make it happen. Like, what kind of forging operations need to be done. But I'm just not the person who's going to be like, I'm going to make a sculpture that looks like this. Oh, I just don't have that particular talent.
See, and that's, I think, that's where me and you are so much opposite on that aspect, because I can like sit down and be like, okay, I want to make a gate for my front yard. And I want it to be cool, like really cool. What could I do with a gate that's fucking cool? And my mind just starts exploring possibilities, and I'll come up with ideas, and it's like, yeah, but how the fuck do you make that? And then that was when your brain pops in and he goes, oh, that's easy, mate. Watch me do this.
Yeah, like the actual how to forge the parts thing. That's where I'm at. Like, if I sit there and think about designing a gate, like, honestly, my brain immediately just goes geometric. Because that is something that's a little bit more easy for my sort of creativity to work with.
I get it. It's how well you've been studying blacksmithing a lot longer than I have, and I think that there may be a little bit of something to that, because like, I'm trying to think of the right example to be using for it, but you get somebody that does something in a certain way for so long and they get stuck in that's the way to do it and there's no other way to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do kind of understand where you're going with that. Like, for me, because I'm a tool maker, like, I have to come up with creative forging solutions and how to make something actually work. How do I get metal in the places where I need metal to be? But, you know, I'm chasing straight lines, flat surfaces, you know,
Right, that's what I mean.
And I haven't done much in the way of like freeform sort of creativity. I haven't done it in a long time, actually.
Yeah. Well, I'm okay. So, like, take the example that I was going to throw you, that little stump that I threw on my sculpture. That started off as a four inch round piece of 2 inch round bar. And I didn't know if I was going to be able to squish that in my die at all, my texturing die, and it just barely fit in there. It actually overlapped the texturing die a little bit, which actually added to the texture. I thought was really nice, but because it was overlapping, it was squishing it like almost ovalish, so it took a lot more squishes all the way around to round it back up, but then I was stuck with a long piece. Like, it squished it out and it elongated. Now it was like probably about 5 inches long instead of four, and narrowed it down. And then I was like, okay, well, now what do I do? And I want it shorter. I want it fatter. So I just took out the die and started squishing it without the die. And that actually, because of all of the force coming from the top and up, it's not really an even force with your press, right? Like, have you noticed that with a hydraulic press that you tend to get more force to one side than the other?
Not one side to the other. Usually if things are sitting straight, it'll usually go pretty flat. You might want to check.
No, I mean, top to bottom. Like, what was happening was,
yeah, usually it just swells out at the middle.
Yeah, see, for me, that's what I wasn't finding, that I was getting the swelling out in the middle, which I you're right, you should, that's where it should be happening. Maybe it was just my piece sat on the forge long enough that the bottom of it was cooling off or something, or the top, no, it would have been the top. because it fattened out on the bottom. And that's what gave me this idea. Like, I didn't know what I was doing with that when I did it. I didn't even know if it was going to be for the sculpture. I was just fucking around, dude. And then when I squished it and saw that it fattened out on the bottom, I was like, oh, dude, that looks like a stump. Oh, dude, that's awesome. It looks like a stump.
Yeah, you know what? I probably do need to do more of that. Just kind of, you know, creative fucking around finding out. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. You fuck around and you find out. And there's a freaking... Have you seen the chart for that?
Yes, I've seen the fuck around and find out chart. It is exactly a 1-to-1 ratio. The more you fuck around, the more you'll find out.
The more. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. Either way, I highly recommend it, dude. And I also recommend maritimeknifesupply.ca and tullylindsay.com.
And other than that. Yeah, this is us screwing around on Sunday night trying to come up with something because we totally forgot to put the ad reads in. Again. But
well, it was like a kind of a wish-washy mess of an episode that we did there, yeah, to be honest. Like Justin jumped in for the second portion and then didn't duck out for the third portion because I like totally expected him to duck out for the third portion and he didn't. He stuck around and then we had four people.
I was glad to have him in there because it meant that I didn't have to talk as much.
Yeah. It worked out all right. We just have to be very like aware of the fact that when like very careful about trying to throw in little bits and being very patient for your turn to talk.
Yeah, that's totally true. There was lots of times where I would start to say a word, realize that somebody else was talking, and stop. And we'd end up like kind of stuttering over top of each other as we were trying to get a conversation rolling again. Yeah, I think it all worked out, though.
I think it could work out. It did work out. And I think it could work out again in the future if we ever venture down that path again. Yeah. I'm open to it. I'm open to lots of things. Not anal seepage, though. I won't. What was that drug that you said? I won't take that.
That was the most weird and random callback, and we're clearly not putting that part in the episode.
Why not? People seem to love our wacky antics. It's what makes the show, man. I mean, you can go listen to anybody else and you're not going to get that shit. That's for sure.
You will not get whatever the hell was going on tonight. That's for certain.
Oh, jeez. I apologize if you've listened this far or how much we're putting into this.
Oh, good Lord, Lando. Please don't put all of this on the podcast. This is 45 minutes of us rambling and trying to figure out a way to do an ad read.
Yeah. Did we do one?
I think we successfully did.
Somewhere in there. Yeah.
And on that note, good night. No, I'm going to bed.
Psst, I love you.
Love you too.